So, this morning, today, of course, is the most auspicious and wonderful and glorious day, the anniversary of the appearance of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, as we're all very well aware. What a wonderful occasion. We will read one verse from Srimad Bhagavatam. The verse itself, well, of course, every verse of the Bhagavatam is very nice. The purport particularly is kind of relevant, you could say, for today. The verse itself, well, it's a nice verse. So let us read that to start off with. Shishi Radha Madhava Kevya Hare Krishna. So this is now Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 22, The Marriage of Karadama Muni and Devahuti, Text 5. Tava Sandarshana Eva Chinna Me Sarva Samshaya Yat Swaya Bhagava Pritya Dharma Shisho Tava Sandarshana Deva Chiname Sarva Samshaya Yat Swayam Bhagavan Pritya Dharma Mahari Rakshisho. Tava, your Sandarshana, by sight, Eva, only, Chinna, resolved, may, my, Sarva Samshaya, all doubts, yad, in as much as Swaya, personally, Bhagavan, your Lordship, Pritya, lovingly, Dharma, duty, Aha, explain, Virakshisho, of a king anxious to protect his subjects. Translation. Now I have resolved all my doubts simply by meeting you. For your lordship has very kindly and clearly explained the duty of a king who desires to protect his subjects. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Manu, described herewith, the result of seeing a great saintly person. Lord Chaitanya says that one should always try to associate with saintly persons, because if one establishes a proper association with a saintly person, even for a moment, one attains all perfection. Somehow or other, if one meets a saintly person, and achieves his favor, then the entire mission of one's human life is fulfilled. In our personal experience, we have actual proof of this statement of Manu. Once we had the opportunity to meet Vishnupad, Sri Srimad, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj, and on first sight, he requested this humble self to preach his message in the Western countries. There was no preparation for this, but somehow or other he desired it. And by his grace, we are now engaged in executing his order, which has given us a transcendental occupation and has saved and liberated us from the occupation of material activities. Thus, it is actually a fact that if one meets a saintly person completely engaged in transcendental duties and achieves his favor, then one's life mission becomes complete. What is not possible to achieve in thousands of lives can be achieved in one moment if there is an opportunity to meet a saintly person. It is therefore enjoined in Vedic literature that one should always try to associate with saintly persons and try to disassociate oneself from the common man, because by one word of a saintly person, one can be liberated from material entanglement. A saintly person has the power, because of his spiritual advancement, to give immediate liberation to the conditioned soul. Here, Manu admits that all his doubts are now over, because Kardama has very kindly described the different duties of individual souls. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Presta Udalene Shivani Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gaura Manika Charity Nira Vishesha Shukivari Vastu Jari Shatari Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vasapati Gaura Bhakti Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Vanchikalpatrubhyascha kripasindubhya evacha patitanam bhavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. So praying for little mercy from the divine lotus feet of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, and for the mercy of Srila Prabhupada himself and all of the Vaishnavas. Let us try and say a few words in glorification and appreciation of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. On reading that purport yesterday, day before yesterday, I was struck by Srila Prabhupada's mood of celebration of his having met that saintly person, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And I imagine we've all read in the Leelamrita the description there of that meeting. Srila Prabhupada arrived there in a somewhat skeptical mood, at least to some degree. But he left in a very different mood, having heard from Srila Bhaktisiddhanta a very different mood, actually. Transformed his life, his heart had just been touched, and more than just touched, deeply penetrated by an association of this great devotee of the Lord. and all his attitudes, his perspective on life, everything. At least Srila Prabhupada describes it in that way. Everything was transformed. And Srila Prabhupada, whenever he would refer to his spiritual master, say something about him, which he would do frequently, you could always see and feel in the tone of voice that the deep reverence and appreciation for this amazing transcendental personality. Certainly in his time, basically unique personality. So anyway, let us, seeing today as his appearance day, let us say a few words about his appearance and his early days and just going through his time on this planet a little bit, try and touch on some of those, the different incidents, many of them, if not all, many of you, I'm sure, are quite familiar with. Yes, but let us just try and focus like that and see how far we get as far as time allows, although, of course, today we're fasting, so chanting, dancing, and fasting today, so maybe we'll have little extra time. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakura, we know that he had been praying for a ray of Vishnu. He had accepted as his life's mission, the mission of spreading Krishna consciousness and establishing the Krishna consciousness movement. But it was hard to get help. Sometimes good help is hard to find. And in those days, it was really hard to find. To find people who were devotees in the deeper sense of the term, and to find people who were willing to assist and really understood what is the mood of Lord Chaitanya and what should we do if we want to be followers of Lord Chaitanya, specifically, of course, to try to spread the Krishna consciousness movement. So you could say in many ways, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakura, he was something like a one-man army, very powerful army, but still just one man, and he was praying, somehow or other, let someone or ones or at least someone come from somewhere who can help, and not just help, but take the mission forward into the future, after his own time was over. So among other things, he was praying to have a child who would be like that, some special transcendental personality sent by the Supreme Personality of Godhead to take up the mission and help with it and then carry it on after Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakura's time was over. So he was praying for that ray of Vishnu. Actually, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakura had many children. He actually had 13 children, 8 sons, 5 daughters, 1 son by his first wife, who unfortunately passed away just very shortly after giving birth to that first son. And then by the second wife, Srimati Bhagavati Devi, who was also a very great devotee, he had the remaining 12 children. So on this day, 143 years ago today, by the lunar calendar, by the solar calendar, February the 6th, 1874, in that holy place, Sri Jagannath Puri, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur appeared in this world as the sixth child, the fourth of eight sons, and the third son of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur by Srimati Bhagavati Devi. And as I'm sure you all know extremely well, that when he just came out of the womb, his umbilical cord was wrapped across his left shoulder, across his chest and right thigh, like a Brahmin friend. So many things we've heard so many times. In fact, that umbilical cord was wrapped so tightly, or in one way or another, that umbilical cord left a mark on his body in the shape of a Brahmin thread, which was clearly visible throughout his whole life. Very extraordinary type of happening that was there. In July, that was February 6th, so 5 months, 6 months later or so, the Jagannath Rath Yatra Festival took place. But, again, another incident I'm sure you're all very well aware of. As happens sometimes in the Jagannath Rath Yatra Festival, Lord Jagannath's cart somehow broke down or stopped, or some divine arrangement was there, surely, right outside the house of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Those of you who have been to Jagannath Puri, you would know where that is, on the left-hand side as you're going down from the temple towards the Gundicha temple. I remember going there first time I ever went. It was 1979, and there was just a house actually, and then there was some sort of temple, but nothing too serious. And on the sign, there was a little sign saying it was the birthplace, and there was another sign saying not an ISKCON temple. Anyway, perhaps I should have mentioned that, but as a historical point, that was actually the situation. Anyway, so Lord Jagannath's chariot broke down or stopped there and stayed there for 3 days. And Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, as the very great devotee he was, he organized an Akhanda Kirtan, non-stop, unbroken kirtan there for those 3 days, while in some sort of mysterious transcendental way the Lord remained there, right in front of his house. And Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur told Srimati Bhagavati Devi, take our little child there and place him at the lotus feet of Jagannath. So the mother did that, placed Srila Bhaktisiddhanta right at the lotus feet, more or less against the lotus feet of Lord Jagannath. And as the description goes, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, little child, 5 or 6 months, he managed to roll over a little, extended his arms, and touched the lotus feet of Lord Jagannath. As he did that, one garland fell spontaneously, by the arrangement of the Lord, from Jagannath, and just fell encircling Srila Bhaktisiddhanta. Again, something very auspicious, very wonderful, and very transcendental. Could not really be otherwise. If a garland falls from that deity, it is auspicious. It is a sign. Good sign. If some jewelry falls from the deity, it's a bad sign. Anyway, here we have garland from the Lord. Same day. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur took Srila Bhaktisiddhanta. What happened? No, didn't take him. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur went to the Jagannath temple and got some special Jagannath Mahaprasad. That special Mahaprasad is called Bimala Prasad. In the grounds of the Jagannath temple, there are many little sub-temples, and one of them is the temple of Bimala Devi, who is Yoga Maya in Jagannath Puri. And just immediately after the food has been offered to Jagannath, then the first Maha is taken and offered to Bimala Devi. And then that's Bimala Prasad, special. Any Jagannath Prasad is special, but there's a special Jagannath Mahaprasad. And so that was fed to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta for his Annaprashna, his first grain ceremony on that same day. And of course we know that at that time in his early days, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta was known as Bimala Prasad. Actually, in my research, I haven't found out whether he was given that name then or earlier or when exactly, but his first reigns was Bimala Prasad. Then many incidents are there, many of which we've all heard of many times. At the age of 3, Srila Prabhupada describes in very heartfelt terms in a class, I think it's 1969, if I'm not mistaken, the disappearance day of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta in America. Srila Prabhupada refers, Prabhupada describing the determination, extreme determination, displayed by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta throughout his life. Srila Prabhupada describes how little Bimala Prasad at the age of 3, just a little child, running through the family house, saw on the table in the middle of one of the main rooms one very nice looking mango, and just picked it up and started eating it, assuming that it was already prasadam, because that was the practice in those days, particularly in mango season. There were just mangoes everywhere. You couldn't even give them away, what to speak of sell them. So it was just, they were just like, there was an ocean of mangoes. And he knew, of course, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he offered everything. So he just assumed that, as usual, here's an offered prasad mango being left here, and he helped himself. But as he was starting to eat it, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur appeared on the scene and stopped him and told him that was not offered. At that time, Srila Bhaktivinoda was worshipping Govardhan Shila. That was not offered, that was bhoga. You have eaten something which was not offered to the Lord. Oh, this is, you've done a wrong thing. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, Bimala Prasad, even at the age of 3, so already manifest in Krishna consciousness so strongly, he took a vow that for the rest of his life, he would never eat mango, and he never did. And he was offered mangoes so many times, particularly when he was the great spiritual leader, Acharya. But he would always refuse. And he would say, no, I cannot, I'm an offender. And oftentimes he would recite, at that time, he would recite the verse from Ishapanishad, Ishavasya Midam Sarvam, Yatkincha Jagatyam Jagat, Tena Chaktena Bunjita, Magda Kasya Sviddhanam. Everything within this universe is owned and controlled by the Lord. This very well-known verse. And therefore one should not accept other things, knowing well to whom they belong, in other words, particularly that things belong to the Supreme Lord. So at those times he would often do that, recite that verse. And never accept mangoes. Just a little aside, one time, when Srila Bhaktisiddhanta was traveling on a train as the great spiritual leader, going from town to town and having big preaching programs, one time on the same train, and the person ended up in the same compartment, was one Mayavadi sannyasi. And someone, as they're sitting there, someone came in and offered Srila Bhaktisiddhanta some mangoes. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta refused, as we've mentioned. And the Mayavadi sannyasi said, no, no, come on, you can accept it. You can accept it. Something along the lines of, because it's all one. Don't worry about it too much. Just accept it. It has come by the will of Bhagavan. Just accept it. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta explained to him that as a child, I committed an offense in this regard. And so it is my vrata, my strict vow. I do not, and I have not, and I will not. And the Mayavadi was a bit, you know, sort of still saying a few things about, you should accept it. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta noticed that the mangoes were a little, you could say, off. A little advanced, in another sense of the term, overripe and slightly, you know, the fragrance had changed. And he said to the Mayavadi, well, look, you know, I cannot. You take them. And that Mayavadi noticed the smell, and then he tried to escape it. But Srila Bhaktisiddhanta told him, no, it's all one. It doesn't really matter. You must take them. If you don't take them, you must admit that it's not all one. So begrudgingly, the man ate those mangoes, like two or three of these not really quite right mangoes. This is Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakura. So anyway, as Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Bimal Prasad was just growing up a little bit, still just a young boy, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur noticed that of all his children, they were all devotees. Even one other brother, Lalita Prasad, interesting point, all the boys were given names ending with Prasad. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta was Bimala Prasad. Then of course this other brother was Lalita Prasad. There was a Radhika Prasad, there was a Kamala Prasad, and a few other Prasads. So, but they were all devotees, and of course it's interesting to note that Lalita Prasad did also become a somewhat prominent devotee and like guru figure in a different mood, in quite a different mood. But at least he did become some sort of prominent spiritual person. So the Bhaktivinoda Thakur noticed that Bimala Prasad was, he was really special from amongst the other children. And he gave him special training and special attention to try and help him develop as a Vaishnav. So in 1881, now Bimala Prasad is 7, he had already memorized the entire Bhagavad Gita. And not only memorized, you know, like sometimes little children, they memorize verses and you can see it's just kind of, they jammed it into their heads somehow. But Srila Bhaktisiddhanta at the age of 7 could explain every verse very nicely at the age of 7. So it was clear that he was special. And Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, as the time was going on, he understood this seems to be that ray of Vishnu, that special person who I was praying for. So he gave him special attention. Bhaktivinoda Thakur moved around a bit. The family moved around a bit in those years. In 1881, same time, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta 7, Bhaktivinoda Thakur built a house in Calcutta, Ram Bagan, that part of Calcutta, while digging for the foundations. A deity of Kurmadev was unearthed, and also a little later, but in the same process, a Nrisinga Shalagram Shila. And Bimala Prasad, when he saw these, he became very inspired. He wanted to worship them. So Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur gave him what is sometimes referred to as Harinam initiation at that time, at the age of 7 in 1881, and instructed him in the worship of those deities, including Nrisinga Shila. If you know something about Shilas, you know, you've got to be careful with Nrisinga Shilas. Yeah, don't make too many mistakes. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur had sufficient faith in Bimala Prasad to entrust a Nrisinga Shila to him, plus the deity of Lord Kurnaman, and gave him initiation, gave him mantras, and gave him, actually he acquired, Bhaktivinoda Thakur acquired from Jagannath Puri, a very nice set of Tulsi Japa beads, which at that time, 1881, Bimala Prasad is 7, Bhaktivinoda Thakur gave to him as part during the course of the initiation. And those beads, those very beads, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta kept for his entire life. Those were his japa beads for his life. Yeah. He treasured those, he kept those, and he used those. And he really chanted a lot on those beads. So this is all in the context of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur appreciating that of my children, devotees, that this one is special. Among other things, as Srila Bhaktisiddhanta gradually became a little older, meaning he's still not 10 years old, still just a young boy, he started showing amazing, not just outstanding intellectual capacities, but just amazing, kind of like unbelievable, practically unique intellectual capabilities. He was able to memorize anything, just anything. What to speak of scripture and perhaps some writings of Acharyas, but just anything he could memorize, having read it or just seen it one time. And even right at the end, when he was just coming to the point of leaving this world, he could still reproduce verbatim any part of any book he had read in the last 50 years. So, just a person from another dimension, as is mentioned in the Bhagavatam, people like Uddhava, people like Maharaj Parikshit, later Srila Jiva Goswami, in the descriptions of their childhoods, they would not go and play with their sort of neighborhood contemporaries. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, he would stay at home and study, particularly studied Narottam Das Thakur's Prarthana and Prema Bhakti Chandrika again and again and again and again, and just on and on and on. Like in our GBC meeting the other day, we were informed that His Holiness Prahlada Nanda Swami, who I think is not here right now, but anyway, I think he's probably on Mayapur TV. Hari Bol Maharaj. Anyway, he has read Bhagavad Gita at least 160 times. Anyway, so Srila Bhaktisiddhanta was really developing as a devotee, very seriously chanting, very seriously doing this deity worship and studying Vaishnava literature. One time he went out for a walk with Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and they happened to encounter some sort of pseudo Babaji type, outwardly ostensibly a devotee, but in terms of actual lifestyle, you know, there are some serious problems there, not really following properly. So they met on the street, and Srila Bhaktisiddhanta did not offer obeisances. And the Babaji asked Bhaktivinoda Thakur, why did he not offer me dandavats? Srila Bhaktivinoda said, I will ask him. And he asked him. He stepped away and asked him. And he came back and said, my son has told me he did not offer dandavats because he does not offer obeisances to sahajiyas. That sort of characteristic of, you know, strictness, and even some might say being severe, it was already manifesting to some degree. In 1888, means he's 14, he started studying astronomy and astrology and a bit of palmistry, but more astronomy. And at the age of 15, he impressed his teachers so much, they were just amazed, that they gave him the name Sri Siddhanta Saraswati, which from that time was used from 1888, Bimal Prasad, maybe in the family, but in general he was known as Siddhanta Saraswati, Sri Siddhanta Saraswati. In 1893, means he's 19, he published his translation and explanation of Surya Siddhanta, which is the oldest Vedic literature, like traditional Vedic literature on astronomy. And, you know, it's a little technical, we won't go into the details, but astronomical calculations based on Shastra, astronomical Shastra, they have to be adjusted every now and then because the planets shift. And if you don't adjust, then your calculations will be off. So at that time, no one had done the proper recalculations. They were using old calculations, which were really quite inaccurate. So he corrected that. And he, in the introduction to that, he chastised those traditional astronomers. Some of them were caught up to some degree with Western conceptions of astronomy. He chastised them. Let me just read that quickly. At present, the majority of persons reputed as learned in astronomy are averse to Shastric understanding. They shamelessly promote themselves as knowledgeable in Shastra, even if totally unaware of its contents. That's pretty strong, isn't it? To be totally unaware. You've got to be pretty unaware. The disease has taken the form of inordinate desire for honor. This evil has engulfed the Jyoti Tirthas, who are the people, the experts on astronomy, and resultingly their work is incomplete and short-sighted. I have brought out this translation of Sri Surya Siddhanta with the hope of attracting the attention of really intelligent thinkers toward the study of astronomy. The Jyoti Tirthas spend most of their lives busily expanding their bellies. And have completely stopped cultivating the complex knowledge of mathematical astronomy received in Guru Parampara. Yes. In 1892, means he is about 18, he entered Calcutta Sanskrit College. And in order to help his sort of classmates, he formed what he called the Chirakumara Sabha, which translates roughly as Association of Lifelong Bachelors, which you may have also heard referred to as the August Assembly. The members took a vow of celibacy. He was the only one to maintain it. You know, it was not exactly like a Krishna conscious group. That was there, but it was more like austerity, piety, morality, which, you know, often tends to be the focus in Hindu society, as opposed to things like chanting the holy names and so on. Yeah, so, and he was very prominent for his morality, for his truthfulness, for his piety. And even he said himself later, which we can take with a grain or two of salt, that he became a little proud because of that. Anyway, he studied, during school holidays, he studied Sanskrit grammar. His teacher, who had taught Bhaktivinoda Thakur, or tutored him in Sanskrit earlier, one pundit Shalomon, was amazed by how he picked up Sandhi. If you know a little bit about Sanskrit grammar, you know Sandhi means how the ends of words change and the beginnings of the next words change when those words meet. If you follow what I mean by that. Yeah. The changing of letters at the ends and beginnings of words when those words meet. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta memorized the whole table, and you know, it's big. It's really big. It's really big. In 3 days, his teacher said, "You should not finish your study of Sandhi so quickly. It took me a long time." In Benares, scholars go through Panini's grammar during their whole life. Whoever continuously studies Panini attains liberation upon dying. Sri Siddhanta Saraswati replied, "Then, from today, I reject you. The goal of my life is neither mastery of grammar nor liberation, but worship of Hari and attaining his affection. I have studied the Vedas, the branches of the Vedas, and their different parts only in a secondary manner." So at that college, he got into a conflict with the head of the astronomy department, who was one of these people, you know, like he was referring to in the introduction we read a bit of. Miscalculations, because of not making proper adjustments in terms of the shifting of the planets over cosmic time, plus being influenced by Western approaches. So they got into a heavy clash, and there was a debate organized and sort of monitored, overseen by the chairman of the whole college. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta devastated him so strongly that the head of the college offered Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, "Would you like to become the head of the astronomy department?" He's still a student. He's only like 18, maybe 19 years old. Following that, fortunately or unfortunately, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta got into a conflict with the chairman, with the head, about certain things they were doing in the school. And in 1895, having been there about 3 years, he felt he had to leave the college, and he left. Which normally would have been like a big embarrassment, like dropping out of the super prestigious institution. Normally it would have been disgraceful, but Srila Bhaktisiddhanta said, "Considering that if I were to remain attentively studying at college, I would be browbeaten to enter family life." Browbeating meaning pressured. "But that if I were perceived as a foolish good for nothing, then no one would put such an inducement upon me for becoming engaged in world advancement. So, considering this, I left the Sanskrit college. And to maintain my life for service to Hari, I sought an honest occupation with a modest income. What many devotees may not be aware of is that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, he left that college in 1895. From then till 1905, he worked. He worked in the government of the Maharaj of Tripura, which was one of the old states in those days, like kind of somewhat independent states. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, he was so expert, he ended up as the overseer of the Tripura government secretariat in Calcutta. But he said the ongoing envy, malice, and sleaze amongst the workers, his co-workers, sleaze. This is like a classic old English word. It means like, you know, just like greasy, semi-liquid muck that might leak out of your toilet or something like that, you know. Sleaze. So seeing these types of moods amongst his co-workers, he more or less pulled out in 1900, and he completely pulled out in 1905. Yeah. In 1897, he started observing Chatamasya. He's working. But obviously maintaining very strictly brahmachari standards. In 1897, he started observing Chatamasya. Once daily before sunset, he would take only rice cooked by himself with just a touch of ghee, no salt, no spices, no vegetables. And he would take it by the method known as gograsa, means eating like a cow. Means the food is just thrown on the ground itself. And then you sit, lean forward, hands behind your back, and eat with your mouth directly. Until you sit up again, and once you sit up again, that's it for the day. See you tomorrow. Yeah. So he didn't shave, didn't cut his nails, slept minimally on the bare earth floor, not even the floorboards, but on the earth. Without bedding, pillow, or even a straw mat. In January 1900, when he was 25, just before he turned 26, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur requested him to take initiation from Srila Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj. This, of course, is another very well-known pastime. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta said later that he was very happy to do that, and he actually felt that Srila Gaur Kishore would also be very happy to accept him, because he's the son of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who is like the Siksha Guru of Gaur Kishore Das Babaji, and they know each other well. And Gaur Kishore had considerable regard for him. So he thought, yeah, good. Let me go and get initiated. So off he went. But Srila Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj just laughed and refused him and said, I once accepted a disciple, but he cheated me and ran away. I'm not accepting anymore. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta begged him and begged him. And Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj said, come back in a few days. I will ask Mahaprabhu. If he agrees, you can be initiated. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta came back in 3 days. Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj said, I forgot to ask. Come back in a few more days. Srila Prabhupada explains that Bhaktivinoda Thakur Anyway. Yeah, okay. That in between, this is now the second time, and then the third time, Bhakti Vinod Thakur told Srila Bhakti Siddhanta, listen, you get accepted by him, or please don't come back to this house. So after a few more days, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta went back and asked, what did Mahaprabhu say? And Gorkha Jordan's Babaji Maharaj said, yes, I asked Mahaprabhu. He did not reply. In other words, you know, sorry, let's not talk about this any longer. But then Srila Bhakti Siddhanta really just fell on the ground at his lotus feet, crying and begging, and repeated a line which I'm sure so many of you all know from a song by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Actually stood up and begged him, Karuna Nahaile, Kandiya Kandiya Kandiya, Pranana Rakibo Ara. Without your mercy, weeping and weeping, I will no longer be able to maintain my life. And there are different descriptions from different sources, of course. Bhakti Vikash Maharaj has given really outstanding description. There are others too. But a description is that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta said on some other occasion that if he had actually continued refusing, he would have continued coming back until the end of his life. Yes. So Srila Prabhupada comments. So anyway, Gorkha Jordan's Babaji Maharaj accepted him. Prabhupada says, and Bhaktivinoda Thakur asked Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur to accept Gorkha Jordan's Babaji Maharaj as his spiritual master, that you go and take your initiation from Gorkha Jordan's Babaji Maharaj. So he thought, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, again, this is Prabhupada speaking. So he thought, I'm a great scholar, I'm son of a magistrate, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who's great Vaishnava. He'll be very much pleased to accept me. Prabhupada continues. Of course, he was very much pleased, but in the beginning he refused. He refused because, of course, that is only show. He was not proud, but just to teach us. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati explained that I was a little proud, so I was thrice refused by Guru Maharaj, although he was the only disciple. So, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, now, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta is this incredible intellectual, just one of a kind. Gorkha Jordan's Babaji Maharaj, his biographies describe him, first of all, as being illiterate, second, as being somewhat cranky, if you know what I mean by that, a little difficult person, and sometimes even a little crude. Yeah. People would come and ask him for initiation. It was not, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta was not the only person to do that. People would come and ask. He would often chase them away physically and hit them with an umbrella bat and hit them, actually hit them. And so what, like, contrasts of character. But let me just read something from Srila Bhaktisiddhanta which shows his actual attitude. Actually, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta said, even though my Guru Maharaj could not read or write, but whenever he opened his mouth, out came the Vedic literatures. So anyway, he said, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakura. When, after full ego, I was thinking, I'm a great scholar of mathematics and philosophy. Let any big pundit come at any time, day or night, and I'll cut his propositions to pieces. At that time, I got the darshan of the lotus feet of Sri Gurudev. I ignored everything that was previously appreciated in me. He ignored everything that was previously appreciated in me. My truthfulness, my moral and pious life, and my intellectualism. He ignored everything, knowing them to be of little value. And when I saw that he ignored whatever was good in me, I realized how good he himself must be. Who could neglect so many, quote-unquote, good qualities in me? What inconceivable wealth he possessed. Humbly and sincerely, I prayed to the Supreme Lord for his mercy. Later, by his grace, I recognized that without receiving the blessings of this peerless saint and without serving him, nothing good could happen to me. When I accepted that and acted accordingly, and then received the causeless unlimited grace of my Sri Gurudev and refuge at his lotus feet, I deemed my life fulfilled. My Gurudev mercifully told me, reject your knowledge, purity, and aristocracy, and come close to me. Don't go anywhere else. Whatever you require, as many rooms, houses, palaces, and mansions, as much scholarship, skills, self-control, and renunciation, you will get. Simply come close to me. Very, very profound. So after his initiation, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta sort of moved away from his government work, although not immediately, but he still had followers, and he gave up his astronomy, but he still had followers. He really had followers in astronomical circles and astrological circles. And one day his followers pressured him to debate with one of the leading astronomers who was very attached to the Western ways and all the miscalculations and all that. And so they had a debate on the 2nd of January 1902 in Calcutta. And Sri Siddhanta Saraswati's superior learning and his ability to express himself left that scholar so completely devastated, his theories and reputations smashed to pieces. The man involuntarily, spontaneously passed stool and urine where he was sitting. Sometimes devotees later, when Srila Bhaktisiddhanta was Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, the preacher, devotees would come and ask him to read their palms. And sometimes he would look to sort of humor them. Sometimes he'd look and look at the palm and then close their palm strongly and say, all bad. Just chant Hare Krishna. You know, there are many things. There are just really many things. But we actually have run out, I'm afraid. I want to give a conclusion here. That after a little while, we were at 1902. Fast forward a bit. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur disappeared, 1914. Srila Gorky Shildas Babaji, 1915. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta really felt their absences. He really felt them. And he had been doing his great vrata. I'm sure you've heard of that, chanting a billion names. Anyway, the details we can't go into. But then he was wondering, after this, what to do? What should I do? Now these two have gone, my shelters, they've gone. And I finished my vow, and what to do? So shortly after the disappearance of Srila Gaurakishore Das Babaji, 1915, while sleeping in his grass hut at the Yoga Peet, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta had a dream, some sort of, we'll say dream, in which Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj, who he also knew and who appreciated him a lot, and the six Goswamis and the Panchatattva and numerous other great acharyas and devotees appeared to him coming from the east. They came to him, and Srila Bhaktisiddhanta said that they told him this: Saraswati, why are you worrying? Begin the task of establishing Shuddha Bhakti. Distribute Gauravani universally. Expand service to Gauranam, Gauradam, and Gaurakam. With unbreached enthusiasm, broadcast Bhakti Siddhanta. We are eternally with you, ready to help. The support of unlimited people, immeasurable opulence, and boundless scholarship awaits the blessing to serve your mission. These people and things, they are awaiting the blessing to serve your mission. All will manifest when required. Come forward with full strength to distribute the message of Mahaprabhu's Prem Dharma throughout the globe. No worldly hindrance or menace will be able to obstruct this undertaking of yours. We are forever with you. And I think the rest is history. That then he started the preaching mission. Prabhupada met him in 22. Therefore we are here. We can, on this day particularly, offer our most humble thanks and appreciations at the lotus feet of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta for all that great mercy that we have received. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur ki. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur ki. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur ki.